more for him than for me, really. By that stage of our marriage, it had become a maintenance thing, like bleeding the air out of the radiators, just another part of running a household. I didn't know, in fact I still don't know, what awful consequences are supposed to ensue if one fails to bleed the radiators. It is not something a cautious woman would ever allow herself to discover. We didn't speak a word. I took Andrew into the bedroom, and we lay on the bed beneath the tall Georgian windows with the yellow silk blinds. The blinds were embroidered with pale foliage. Silk birds hid there in a kind of silent apprehension. It was a bright May morning in Kingston-upon-Thames, but the sunlight through the blinds was a dark and florid saffron. It was feverish, almost malarial. The bedroom walls were yellow and ochre. Across the creaking landing, Andrew's study was white, the colour, I suppose, of blank pages. That's where I retrieved him, after the awful phone call. I read a few words of his column over his shoulder. He'd been awake all night, writing an opinion piece about the Middle East, which was a region he had never visited and had no specialist knowledge of. It was the summer of 2007, and my son was fighting the Penguin and the Puffin, and my country was fighting Iraq and Afghanistan, and my husband was forming public opinion. It was the kind of summer when no one took their costume off. I pulled my husband away from the phone. I pulled him into the bedroom by the tasseled cord of his dressing gown, because I had read somewhere that this sort of behaviour would excite him. I pulled him down onto our bed. I remember the way he moved inside me, like a clock with its mainspring running down. I pulled his face close to mine, and I whispered, "Oh God, Andrew, are you all right?" My husband didn't reply. He just closed his eyes against the tears, and we began to move faster, while small, involuntary moans came from our mouths and fled into the other's moaning in wordless desperation. In on this small tragedy walked my son, who was more at home fighting evil on a larger, more knockabout scale. I opened my eyes and saw him standing in the bedroom doorway, watching us through the small diamond-shaped eye-holes of his bat mask. From the expression on the part of his face that could be seen, he seemed to be wondering which, if any, of the gadgets on his utility belt might help in this situation. When I saw my son, I pushed Andrew off me and scrabbled frantically for the duvet to cover us. I said, "Oh God, Charlie, I'm so sorry." My son looked behind him, then back at me. "Charlie isn't here. I'm Batman." I nodded and bit my lip. "Good morning, Batman. What is you and Daddy doing, Mummy?" "Is you getting baddies?"